Yes, may the Lord bless our fellowship tonight. As we continue with Isaiah chapter 22, right? It's very amazing that talking about a judgment of the world. It's okay. That right in the middle of it, you have Isaiah 22 to expose the condition of Jerusalem. Because the judgment of the world is actually in a way related to Jerusalem. And all of this nation, although their aim is really to destroy Jerusalem. On the other hand, you can really see that it is God's sovereignty to use them to carry out his judgment. Except they went too far. They always went too far. God just wanted to punish a little bit. But these nations would go and go way beyond what God wanted to do. And this is not good. And we are all like this, actually. Yes, maybe God will use us to do something. But we don't know when to stop. We do it. And we kept on, and we don't stop. You know, we always went too far. Don't do that. Right? I think there are many lessons for us really to learn if we serve the Lord. Just do what he wants you to do and stop. But unfortunately, we never know when to stop, and we kept going beyond what God wanted us to do, and at the end, we created a lot of troubles. Right? If there's something, let's say, God will use you to help somebody or to correct somebody, just do it in the Spirit. If you don't do it with the Lord and do it in the Spirit, you'll always say more than what you should have said. And many times, if you say more or do more than what God wanted you to do, you will end up being judged by God. Yes. God's wrath is only this much for Jerusalem. Oh, but Assyria went beyond that, my goodness, at the end. He wants to destroy everything. So in the same principle we learn today, we should all learn today, don't go beyond what God wants you to do. Right? Learn this. It is very important. Now, this morning we talk about judgment of especially Babylon and Tyre. And this too, why is it that this too are especially important for us to see? Right, because as brought out this morning, and it's good to be impressed with it, that especially in these two nations, Babylon and Tyre, Satan was exposed. Satan was fully exposed. The king of Babylon eventually became an allusion to Satan, Lucifer. And the king of Tyre pointed to the anointed cherub, cherubim, Satan. Before he fell, he was an archangel. Beautiful, full of wisdom. Very capable. And God put him in charge until sin was found in him. Right? So these two cities today are very, very crucial for us to see. Like we mentioned again this morning, Babylon is a place where God's people were captured in captivity. And the temple destroyed, and God's people were brought into captivity. And all the vessels of the temple of God were transferred over to Babylon and placed in the temple of their idols. Right? So Babylon is a place where God's people were in captivity. And we see from the very beginning in Genesis that Babel is really the first building built up by the enemy, by Satan. You should believe that not only God wants to have his building on this earth today, but the enemy also wanted to have a building. Yeah. We shouldn't think that we are the ones building. Definitely, Satan also is building something to destroy and to compete with God's building. And so Babylon today still exists. The earthly Babylon is no longer there. Right? It's called Baghdad. But Baghdad is not even Babylon, but Babylon was originally outside of Baghdad. Right. But now, the Babylon that is very dangerous for us is a spiritual Babylon. A Babylon that really captures God's people, even killing God's people. The saints, drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of the Lord, the faithful martyrs. So you can really see at the very end in the book of Revelation chapter 17, again Babylon was mentioned. Babylon was mentioned, and it is amazing when John saw Babylon. Let us read again Revelation chapter 17. Yeah. What did he say here? Right. Yeah. He saw, verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. It was a big surprise for him. And today, we don't care. Nobody cares about Babylon. You talk to them about Babylon. They say, what are you talking about? I have nothing to do with Babylon. Why do you think John was amazed? With great amazement. Why? Why do you think that he was amazed? George, help me. Just that? Now that he saw it, why was he so amazed? Because he never have thought that the churches would be fallen to such an extent and becoming a building, a city. Instead of the city of the living God, it is now a city that kills the saints, drinking the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The church should actually be the house of the living God, the place where the priests were serving together. It is a place of gathering of God's people for the real worship. And now, here in Revelation chapter 17, this Babylon, which was actually originally the city of the living God, supposedly a faithful city, has become a harlot. Yeah. It is really an amazing thing. Today, if you and I are not in the Spirit, in our spirit, with the Spirit of the Lord to enlighten us to see what Babylon is, you will not be amazed. You will not be amazed. You will think, what's wrong with it? They're all God's people. Right? God's people are still in there. So what's wrong with it? I cannot tell you what's wrong with it. You need to ask the Lord. Because if it's just somebody telling you, I don't think they will convince you. But you need to turn to the Lord and ask the Lord, show me what is Babylon. You have to open my eyes to see. Right? You cannot just judge things outwardly by what you see with your eyes. Your eyes cannot see through. Your eyes can only see what is outward. Outwardly, well, okay, this group is better. Of course, that group is not so good. And that is a terrible group preaching the gospel of prosperity or a strange gospel. You know, we only look at the outward things. We don't even feel that it was terrible. We don't feel that. Because we don't really see through things. And then a golden cup, well, what's in the cup you don't see, but what is that cup? It's, oh, wow, it's a golden cup. And outwardly gilded with gold, pearls, and precious stones. And I mean, you know, what are they teaching? Buddhism? Are they teaching philosophy? Every Sunday, what are they using? The same Bible, not a different one. New King James. Exactly the same. Are they preaching something else that you shouldn't believe in God? No. 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 But history really tells us that Roman Catholicism for 1,000 years has killed and murdered so many Christians, drunken with the blood of the saints. Today is almost forgotten. It's almost forgotten. Like I mentioned, the only pope who admitted openly was that Polish pope. Jean Paul. Yes. He admitted that Roman Catholicism in the Dark Ages has murdered and killed so many Christians. The most horrible torture machines were invented by them. Terrible. Right? Maybe even we today have forgotten that it is the world that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. And you just, praise the Lord, he died on a cross, something very wonderful and accomplishing redemption, right? But it was the world. It was even in the name of religion that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Don't think God forgot it. God did not forget. God could have said, well, they just did what I wanted them to do, to crucify my son. No. No. They even proclaim, let his blood be upon our head. And that really happened. Right. So today, we should not forget what Babylon is. And that is why it is written in Revelation chapter 17. Oh Lord. Yeah. Right. So the Lord will have to open our eyes to really see what Babylon is. And here in this outline, we mentioned, in page one, there is another name about Babylon in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 21. I don't think many of us pay attention or even knew that Babylon has a nickname. It's a nickname. Many of us have a nickname, right? Your name is Timothy, but they call you Timo. It's a nickname. Right. And this nickname, this other name of Babylon is Merataim, the Hebrew name meaning to say double rebellion. This is the only place that this name was mentioned, and in no other place. And so there has been various explanation of what this name really means. Right, but actually, none of this explanation really is satisfactory. What does it mean, double rebellion? Rebellion is rebellion. Double rebellion, does it mean that you rebel twice? Or what? Or rebellious to the uttermost? Or many other explanations, right, concerning this. But today we can really see, right, there was an earthly Babylon during the Old Testament days, but now there is a different kind of Babylon. There's a spiritual Babylon. Right. Double rebellion, a visible power on earth and an invisible principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Our trouble is oftentimes you only see what is visible to you, but you do not see what is invisible. So what is more dangerous, a visible enemy or an invisible enemy? That's right. That's right. An invisible enemy is 100 times or 1,000 times more dangerous, because you don't know where he is and when, what angle he's going to come to attack you, and you don't know. So we just see what our eyes can see, what is visible. You just see, oh, that's not a very nice group. Oh, I just see division. Oh, that's division. Oh, another problem there. Right? You see, look, they are doing some nonsense again. Oh, that's nonsense. That's this problem and that problem. You only see what you can see, right? Sorry, no wonder it's bothering me. Yeah, sorry, right? So, you don't realize that there is another name for Babylon. There are two sides to it. And that's why it is very precious and very important that the Lord use Babylon and the king of Babylon, the earthly Babylon, the visible Babylon, to all of a sudden reveal to us Satan, Lucifer. Right? And this is really an amazing writing, actually. It is very amazing. He was talking about Tyre. Tyre is very famous in her days for merchandising. All the whole world were doing business with them. Yeah, it's the center of commerce, commercial world. Talking about a lot of trades and tradings and merchandises. And John especially brought out the luxury goods. Right, today we have a lot of things that we don't need. Right? So here you can really see, if you walk in a department store, at the end, how many things that are useful for you do you see in a big department store? I think you can throw away about 99%. And maybe what we all need is just 1%. This is the 99% we don't need. But the world, remember, is the lust of the eyes. Yeah. Right. So you can really see how this Tyre will trap us. Will trap us. And Paul says, the love of money is what? Is the root of all evil. It's not the money itself. Right? Otherwise, I should say, I have evil in my pocket. No. What is evil is not what is in my pocket. What is evil is in my heart. The love of the money. We talk about money, but we should deal with the love of money. We should deal with covetousness, which is idolatry. Right. So this commercial world, why do they produce so many of these things? Because there should be a market for it, right? If there's no market for it, you know, the law of business, right? There is a law of demand and supply. If there is no demand, will there be a supply? Nope, there won't be any supply. I'm not a businessman, but everybody knows the law of demand and supply, right? So today, you can really see there is a demand. That's why there is a supply. So don't blame the supply. You must blame the demand. Because if there is no demand, nobody's going to produce it. They're going to go bankrupt. Right? So anyway, the business world today is a big trap. Even for us, for God's people. It's a very deep trap. Don't say we're not prone to it or we won't be drawn into it. No, no. Right. No wonder John did say, love not the world. So these two particular countries, Babylon and Tyre, are used by the Lord to fully expose Satan. And this is why you have to realize that behind Babylon, there is a very dangerous enemy. which is Satan. Behind the commercial world, the boss, the hidden boss there, right, is the devil. Don't think it is not dangerous. Not dangerous. You know, the big boss always hide himself and let the little guys do the dirty works. So that when things happen, nobody will blame him. So today, the Lord will have to open our eyes and see. If you do not see this, you just talk about Babylon in an outward way. Okay, you may be right. But it'll be very hard for you to convince people. It'll be very difficult for you to convince people. So you need revelation. Remember here, John chapter 17, the Lord did not just tell John, okay, this is Babylon. Write it down. I'm going just to explain to you. No, the Lord brought him to the wilderness and showed him. So the Lord will have to show you. If the Lord doesn't show us, it will not affect even your heart. There will not be an inward consciousness, a reaction within your heart and in your spirit about Babylon. I don't mean that you should be so angry and go there and demonstrate. And I've seen that. You know, when was that? In 1976, right there in Berkeley, the young people there put a big sign there and burn it in front of the meeting hall. It says, "Burn religion." And they set it on fire, really. Right, young people hold that thing and then sit in a fire, right? You don't remember? It's even in the newspaper. Don't do that. You'll be setting your own meeting hall on fire. That's dangerous. You might even hurt yourself and burn your fingers. Huh? In Babylon. Really? There's nothing new under the sun, you know? It is really true. I've seen that. I didn't see them actually do it, but it was in the newspaper. I'm glad I wasn't there. I don't know what I would have done if I was there. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was a very sad moment in the history of the church life. Right. In 1968 to 71, we were in the peak. But by 1975 and 76, we are in a valley. Jerusalem is supposed to be on the peak, right? The song of ascent, right? Not song of descent. In the book of Psalms, we have the song of ascent. 上行之诗嘛, 对不对? But what happened there? We descend. We descended instead of ascended. Unfortunately, we should have kept on going upward, because it's an upward calling. But unfortunately, we descended into the valley. So it's very important for us to see something, and it is not just knowing. Of course, after the fellowship, you will all know what Babylon is, but that's not a point. The point is, how does it affect you? Were you like John in Revelation chapter 17, who was amazed with great amazement? Or you just say, oh yeah, okay, that's Babylon. And then you go home and nothing happens. Doesn't affect you. You don't care. Right? You don't care if your friends are in there. Right? That's why in chapter 18, verse 4, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. And worse is this. Babylon is fallen, verse 2. Right? He cried mightily with a loud voice. Make sure that everybody listens and heard it. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become just a system of religion. Papal system, pastor system, division, and denominations. That's what we know about Babylon, right? Oh, they're Babylon. Why? Oh, they're denominations. Don't say that. It's not going to help just by saying it. But within your heart, you have to realize what is happening. And has become a dwelling place of what? Huh? What?
Demons.
Oh, come on. You mean to say, what?
Demons.
You are going to really offend people if you tell them that the demons are there. You don't believe that? I tell you, in many of the Pentecostal, extreme Pentecostal, you can see manifestations. One sister, should I tell some stories? I better not tell stories, otherwise you might think I made it up. Yeah. And has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. 주리정아, 하부하와. Ah, 非常坏, 不只是坏啊, 非常黑暗。 Very dark. Very dark. But you don't see it. You don't have eyes to see. You don't realize this. Right. For you, Babylon is as a system. No, Revelation 18 says, dwelling place of demons. And a dwelling place and a prison, not just for the Christian, for the believers as a captivity, but a prison for every foul spirit. You like to be in a place together with all these foul spirits? Right. And a cage for every unclean and hated bird. You know, the Word of God said it so clearly and said it so seriously that even none of us dare to even repeat it. Right? Right. So if we see what it is, there's the double rebellion there. There's really a double rebellion. There is a physical, earthly, visible rebellion, right? Against God. But then there is a even more dangerous, terrible, invisible rebellion there that is even more than just an outward rebellion. It is demonic. Not just there in the religious Babylon, even in the political Babylon. They also called it Babylon. Look what's happening today. You think it is just some fallen people, human beings? No. Let me tell you, the demons today have changed. Not like at the time of Jesus, when a demon is possessed, they tore their body and they became crazy and live in the tomb, in a cemetery, and, you know. Then if I'm like that, you will think, oh my goodness, he is really possessed. But today, they are great entertainers, music industries. Thousands of young people became crazy listening to them there. Bum, 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 bum. They even became the best entertainers. 2,000 years ago, they are not entertainers. And during the Old Testament days, they are not entertainment. They want to be worshipped, bowed down, and burn your children, you know, bring your children, put them on the altar, kill them, and sacrifice them to me. Well, then you will know that's demonic, right? But today, you even have to pay and buy a expensive ticket to watch the demons entertain you. They change. You think they won't change? Only we didn't change. Remain the same, generation to generation. Right. So we really need to see. We really need to realize something. I don't want to just, you know, talk about Babylon, okay, you know, in an outward way. It's not adequate, no. This is why the Lord revealed to us that there is another name. There is another name for Babylon. Yeah. So there you can really see the visible power on earth. An organized Vatican there, for example. Or outwardly, you see so many organizations. But then the invisible principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That is why in Ephesians, talking about the church, the last chapter is talking about a warfare. Today, we are in a warfare. I doubt that many Christians, even among ourselves, have a deep realization that we are fighting a spiritual warfare. And you cannot win it by yourself. Of course not. That's why we have a captain. Don't we have a captain? You have a savior, but no captain. And we don't need a great high priest, because we are not practicing the priesthood. So why need a great high priest? And we're not fighting a battle, so why do we need a general? Why do we need a captain? We just need a pastor and a few elders. We don't need a captain, a general, right? Because you're not fighting a battle, you're not having a warfare, why do you need a captain, right? Yeah. But if the Lord opens our eyes, then we will have a different view. Right? We will have a different feeling within our spirit and in our heart what we are doing. Look at the Lord when he was on this earth. Was he having a good time just preaching the gospel? Right? He was what? Fighting. When the Lord came, the whole power of darkness, the whole gates of Hades was open, trying to destroy him. Even at the time of his birth already, ever since he came, he had this problem. Right? And even before that, even John the Baptist, like someone mentioned a verse, right? From the day of John the Baptist until now, the Lord Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven suffers what? Violence. Who's causing that violence? John the Baptist? Who caused the violence? You tell me. Satan. Through whom? Babylon. Through religion. The chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees. And the politics. Herod. So remember, Babylon is sitting on the beast. This woman who is sitting on the beast, she controls the beast. So the Lord will have to open our eyes. I hope that through this fellowship tonight, that you will have a deeper realization of what Babylon is. Don't think it's harmless. Don't think, oh, it's just a division. Right? Oh, yeah, it's just a human organization. Or it's just, you know, everybody doing their own thing. And no, you need to see something deeper today in order to help many of the saints. You may not say it and using these words here, but it is what is in your heart, what comes out of your spirit when you talk to people, that it will wake them up. It is not your explanation like what I'm doing right now to explain to you, oh, demons, oh, do you know you are in the place where the demons are? Those people will really hit you in the head and punch you in the nose and then walk away. You're not going to help them by saying that. But it is in your spirit. You feel for these people. Lord, save them. Get them out of Babylon. Don't go about telling your family, oh, you're in a demonic place. You know that? Well, they will kick you out of the house. Says, don't you ever come back again to my home. Right. But we have to have a deep realization within us what Babylon really is. And you may not be able to explain, but it is not the explanation. It is what you realized. Right. And this is important, just like today's politics in the United States. What we realized cause us to really be stirred, especially this brother here. You know why he's like that? Because he has a realization. For him, it's not just politics. Don't think he's for Trump, no. But he realized something that's happening, which is important. If you don't realize it, you will not understand him. I happen to understand him a little bit more than you, right? That's why, right, when he talked about it, his spirit is burning. His whole being is burning. Because there's a realization. Right? But you need to control that. Right. Yeah. So may the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. You know, I can testify to you many times when I talk about Babylon, even for so many years already. I'm still very strong against Babylon, but you may not know it. But I've always been asking the Lord, Lord, show me more. Let me realize what you realize concerning this city here. Because this city is vying, competing against the heavenly Jerusalem. And hey, if this is a competition against the heavenly Jerusalem, I want to know everything about this, my competitor, about the Lord's competitor. I need to understand every angle of what she is. Right. If it's not important, it will not be mentioned right here. But it must be something very serious and very important. Amen. And of course, in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, we see this duality, the double aspects. One is religious and the other one is commercial. Now, in Revelation 17 and 18, these two were combined together. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's why in this outline we wrote, and the final judgment on Babylon is with double measure. A double measure, right? Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Okay, let's not waste more time about that anymore. Then the final call is, come out of her, my people. And that is a very clear proof that God's people today is captured, is in captivity in Babylon. Yeah. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord, how can we share with them in a way that they will come out? We need to pray for God's people. Don't just pray for ourselves, we pray for God's people at the end of this age. Don't just pray for yourself. Don't just pray for the churches, but you pray for all of God's people. Throughout all these years, in my experience, among the saints that we were meeting with, we have always been caring just for ourselves here. And not so much for all of God's people. We need to pray for them. I think it is our duty and our responsibility to pray for all of God's people. Have mercy on your people. Just like all of these prophets, whether it be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel, all the minor prophets, they pray for all of God's people. Remember to pray for God's people. Right? Because they are His people, and they are a part of us. When we talk about Zion, it doesn't just belong to us here, a few people. Zion is the city of the living God for God's people. Yes. So today, let us have the burden from the Lord to pray. Although We don't see too many people coming. But it doesn't matter. We still pray for them. You know, when Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9, he prayed. His prayer was for the entire people. He even confessed not just his own sins. He confessed the sins of not only the people who were there, he prayed confessing the sins of the ancestors, the fathers. Because he realized that the very fact that they are in Babylon shows that the forefathers have offended God. That's why they are all there and did not repent. He certainly read the scriptures. He read Isaiah. He should have known Isaiah very, very well. Right. And so you should realize today, at the end of this age, before the Lord comes back, I believe it is well-pleasing to the Father if we pray for the entire people of God. And not just for ourselves. Our heart must be enlarged to pray for them. Of course, we cannot accept everything, right? There are so many crazy things out there. Babylonian things, right? But nevertheless, we need to pray as Revelation chapter 18 tells us, come out of her, my people. So if you know what Babylon really is, then you should have a heart for God's people who were in captivity. And what I mean is a genuine feeling for God's people, because they are God's people. And so I hope that talking about the judgment of Babylon, we will not just be judging there as the judge, but that we can see, oh Lord, your people are in captivity. Save them, call them out. We need to pray for God's people. And I believe this kind of a prayer and a heart for God's people will be well-pleasing to the Father. Amen. Well-pleasing to the glorious God. Amen. Maybe I shouldn't even start with chapter 22, because we only have 10 minutes to go, and not to be distracted from this burden that we have tonight. Then on the second hand, on the second thought, in this 10 minutes, I want to confirm what was shared this morning concerning the internal enemies. I don't think that this burden has come out of our mind. No, it did not come out of our mind. It is very easy to identify the outward enemies. Right. So, but it is not so easy to deal with the inward enemies. Right. So, don't just listen to that message. If you read through the whole New Testament, you can really see the natural man, your twin brother. It was put in a very well-described manner. Right? The closest relative is our natural man. In the past years, in all the troubles of the church life, ever since I was a young boy in the Philippines, in Manila, the church there, oh my goodness, I cannot forget that, because I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it with my own eyes. It was horrible. It was not a beautiful sight. In fact, when it happened, many of us young people wept because we saw the destruction of the church life. And it was nothing from the outside. We destroyed it ourselves through envy, through strife, through the self, through power struggle, position. That was a very ugly sight. You don't deal with that. You don't deal with the natural man. Sooner or later, destruction will come. Definitely destruction will come. No wonder the Lord says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Yeah. Pick up your own cross and follow me. Deal with the self. It is very important to do that. If you don't learn to deal with it now, it's going to deal with you. Like our brother shared this morning, it's going to rob you of your birthright. You will lose the kingdom. Eh? This is not very good. It is not very good. So learn to deny the self and tell the Lord, Lord, transform me. The goal of faith, what did Peter say, is salvation of your soul. That's the goal. Right? Otherwise, when the Lord comes back, you're going to lose your soul. And you'll be thrown into outer darkness and you'll be weeping and those gnashing of teeth. You will regret it. How foolish I am. Why didn't I do this? Right? So now that there's still time, let us learn to deal with ourselves, with the natural man. Now, first of all, of course, you deal with it. Deny it. Say no. Learn to say no. And then on the positive side, let the Holy Spirit, through the growth in life, to transform our souls into his image. You know, I really appreciate what Paul said, and it was read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ. Wow. It's possible. If Paul says that, that means it is possible for us to have the mind of Christ. Now, how are you going to have the mind of Christ if you don't pray, Lord, renew my mind. Renew my mind through our living and walking by the Spirit. Romans 12 talks about the renewing of the mind. Ephesians chapter 4 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. And what is a sound mind if it is not the mind of Christ? And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind is that? A mind to lift up yourself? A mind to be proud? What kind of a mind is it, Sam? First of all, to put the glory aside. Praise the Lord. Then you lower yourself. How low? To become a man? Is that good enough? No. What's lower than a man? To be a slave. And in the Psalms, he says, I'm not a man, I'm a worm. You like to be a worm, Emmanuel? But you know the Lord Jesus became a worm. Right. And willing to be crucified. Willing to go through all these sufferings. We talk about the humanity of the Lord Jesus, but in your mind, humanity of the Lord Jesus is just to be a nice man, smiling all the time. Somebody say something against you, you just smile and say nothing. Right? And just be patient and to be a little obedient. And no, it's more than that. The mind of Christ is more than that. Then the result will be that God will uplift you. Let God uplift you, not man. And not now. It is after you die. Just like the Lord Jesus, after he was crucified, then he rose again and then he ascended and God gave him a name above all other name, right? Right. So to be lifted up by God is definitely not now. So don't try to help God to lift yourself up. To be somebody. No. Right. So it's all possible. It's all possible. But you have to learn to deal with the natural man. Deal with the natural man. Right. Let us all learn. I know it is not easy, but it is, like our brother shared this morning, not impossible. Nothing is easy. Why should it be easy? Is your job easy? Nothing is easy. Right? Is it easy in Philadelphia? No. So why not quit? Quitting? No, just quit. But spiritually, why do you want to quit? Just because it's hard, you quit. You should read Hebrews again. God says he is not what? Happy. Right? If somebody draws back. You want to draw back just because it's hard. So, hey, God never promised that everything is easy. Right? But it's normal, doable. Right? And we should thank the Lord that we have so much opportunities to learn. Right? And then deal with the flesh. Remember those words. And I think this morning, it should be clear enough to read it in Galatians, in 1 Corinthians, right? What Paul said in his epistles, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. So today, if we want to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to crucify the flesh in experience. Yeah. Right. With all the passions and lust, and then walk by the Spirit. And then learn to do everything, not in Lot's way. Because you said, well, don't blame Lot. I don't know if you should be blamed or not. Right. But if the daughters came and bring 10 bottles of wine and tell the father to drink the wine, and are you going to do that? Suppose I go to your home and says, John, let's have a drinking bout tonight. I bought 20 bottles of wine. What are you going to do? Hey, I'm your father-in-law. You better say yes. What are you going to do? You better kick me out of the house. Right. So, it's not a matter of blaming or not blaming, but you have to realize that the very fact that it really happened, it is not good. Doesn't matter whose fault it was. Right. So, I think the word about these internal enemies, the enemies inside, is very clear and practical, especially with the illustration. God is so wise to show us all of the danger and the principles of this internal medicine. I'm going to blame you because I said of these internal problems, not by doctrines, but by illustrations. Because illustrations will give you a deeper impression than doctrines. So the saying, a picture speaks better than 1,000 words. Learn from it, and then get into the Word in Galatians chapter 4 and 5. They all go together. And learn to cast out Ishmael. Cast him out. And not just cast out the son, but cast out the mother. Because if you cast out the son, she might bear a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one, and there will be no end. So cast out the bond woman with her son. Yeah, do a thorough job. The German says, wenn schon, denn schon. Nicht nur den Sohn, sondern auch die Mutter. Learn this. Right? 中国人怎么说啊?剪草要除根,要不然啊,春风吹又生. Right? 中国人很聪明. 但是我们属灵为什么那么笨啊? Why are we so foolish spiritually? Not to deal with the root, we only deal with the outward grass. You know, you mow the grass. Next week, it's going to grow again. That's why we need I don't know why we have a gardener to mow the lawn every week. Might as well remove everything. Then we don't need a gardener anymore, right? Hey, let's do that, Kwang. But spiritually, you need to do it. Right? Spiritually, we need to do it. This is why we have a sin offering and we have a trespass offering. The sin offering deals with the root. The trespass offering deals with the sins, plural. And, hey, God does a thorough job through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us learn. We don't have much time, so we better learn now. How about that? Okay. Let us learn. May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. 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 Let's pray, huh?